most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Yes, who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 9:02 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got football starting up Thursday. NFL football will be here. We had our college football start. Not a great start for our teams. Rice, I thought, was going to play better at Arkansas. Arkansas might be a little bit better football team this year. We'll see. But Rice did not. And now Rice in Houston this week, Rice is pretty good. Is a pretty good football team. And so this is the Cougs are going to have their hands full, especially if Clayton Tune keeps throwing interceptions. So we'll have Dana on with us Thursday here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Need the Cougs to certainly play better. But Rice is here too, and Rice is saying, yeah, watch this. We'll see about that. We'll see how that works out for you. Our Texans are still three point underdogs. And I really felt strongly about LSU and Rice this weekend that they would, show up and play. A couple of my teams, I thought Houston as well. I thought Houston would fare well, and they started out great against Texas Tech, and then things just fell apart. I just don't know how a rookie quarterback making his first start is going on the road and giving 3 points.
It seems crazy to me. Literally just on principle alone, I would take Houston.
Yeah,
I don't care who the team is. That was the worst team of football. Houston may be the worst team of football. Rookie quarterback on the road, laying points. You fade this almost every single time. Anytime you have a situation like this, you just fade that. And that's what I would do. I'd take Houston plus the points.
Yeah.
I can't see, even if you're wrong, you still probably have you've got good rationale behind you. Trevor Lawrence, in his first matchup, he just lost the other first-round pick, Travis Etienne. You got a Houston defense that has shown the ability to get after the quarterback and create some havoc. You have an offense that isn't very good, clearly, with the Texans. But you also have seen a ton of Tyrod Taylor, who I thought Tyrod looked okay in the preseason in his limited snaps. So, yeah, I think Houston's got one of their only chances to win a game. But let's face it, this is their best chance to win a game, I think. I really think this could be their best chance to win a game. If you don't have a game circled like this,
well, the
I don't
Jets
know what
too.
Game you
I think the Jets are probably.
We'll see. Tony Romo basically called Zach Wilson the next Pat Mahomes. For the second time, he's doubled down. First, he said this kid has some special, special qualities. He's got some rare ability. This is Tony. This isn't the general slap nuts who are talking about Joe Milton. Joe Milton is a special quarterback. In college football, and what rare arm talent. You know who says stuff like that all the time? I can't even watch Dan Orlovsky. I can't watch him call. He was on the call for, it was Michigan versus, he was Michigan and Western Michigan. And I mean, the hyperbole that came out of his mouth. You know, watching him and then watching Kirk Herbstreit, frankly, Kirk Herbstreit is so far ahead of most commentators on college. He gives you information without trying to be the show the whole time during the broadcast. Like, he gives you great analysis, great evaluation. He lets his storytellers do the storytelling next to him. But yeah, Orlovsky, man, I'm struggling listening to him as a color commentator. But when it comes to Tony Romo has gone off on Zach Wilson, how special he's supposed to be. But I'm with you, though. To me, you play Houston and you don't even think twice about it. If you lose, you lose. But you're getting points at home against a rookie quarterback who was playing with the team to finish last in football last year. I understand Houston's not going to be good either, but you just don't typically lay 3 on the road with a bad team. You just don't do it.
Yeah. there's somebody else and another announcer that is that people are starting to worry about, and that's Todd McShay. Todd McShay doesn't look like the same guy that he was before.
Mm-hmm.
His face is extremely bloated, extremely mm-hmm. bloated.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, there's not going to be any speculation. Now, there has been
there's a lot of speculation.
Well there's a lot of speculation about
why. He was trending on Twitter on Saturday.
Although he has had some, physical issues.
What I don't think people realize, and I'm not going to put it out there because it's his business, but I will just say, I was told this weekend when I was checking up on this, that Todd has had a couple of different health issues that date back, I think, at least a year. And so that could be playing a role in physical appearance, which people are talking about, just his face, and then the way he sounds on broadcasts. It is concerning. It's definitely concerning because it's not the Todd McShay that you're used to. But he's still going to games, and if it is if it's an issue with his behavior, he's doing something he's not supposed to be doing, I don't know that ESPN would even have him on the air anymore, period. I think he'd be in serious trouble, and we'd read stories about it. By the same token, if he's got issues that are health-related and he's going out there, I think they're doing him a disservice putting him out there. I think because you see what happens. They do this is
last year as well, though, too.
Last year, but then this year, he's physically, he looks a little less like what we're used to with Todd McShay. I mean, gaining weight during a pandemic is no bad. A lot of people did. I did. I had to drop 20 pounds off of that. But this is different. Like, it's different. And I think he may be dealing with a health issue. And if that's the case, and ESPN still puts him out there on the sideline, and they go to him with tight shots, and they throw to him on the sideline, and he's struggling to have the information read,
or be able to relay
the information and relay it quickly in the way that he wants to, then they're doing him a disservice because all you have is people on Twitter going off.
Don't know, Todd McShay is the draft expert for ESPN. Now, he was the young guy that is supposed to replace Mel Kiper, and he's been on the broadcast. He's fantastic. Forever. He's really good at what he does. But these last couple of years, and especially Saturday, listen to you can't see his face is so bloated right now that it doesn't really look like Todd McShay. And then secondly, here's his sideline report.
Neal, Bekior, and Evan Neal, and you've been really impressed by Evan Neal.
Yeah, everyone loves talking offensive linemen, right? The section position, but Evan Neal, if you watch him in the box jump that he does, I would have probably broken my whole body. I have no idea how he does it. At 350 pounds, he's able to make that.
Cut off.
You can hear it some there.
Yeah.
There
was one.
If you see the video, you would kind of know better.
Yeah, you get a better understanding of it. And then there was one last year.
By the way, that video cut off, but the audio, he says something about the defensive line. He says offensive line. Like, you can tell. You can tell that something is not.
The only
reason I say this, and I even hate even talking about it, except for the fact that, because I think we're, if because everyone just, Todd's drunk. That's what everyone on Twitter thinks. Yeah. And they're saying it. Some people are saying, I'm worried for Todd, slurring a speech. Is this signs of stroke and things like that. I dug around on it because out of curiosity, and I found out from somebody he has dealt with some health issues. So that may be it. Maybe if you heard that or saw that, maybe that'll put more context to it. It might not be exactly what you're thinking.
Well, now a lot of people are just jumping to a conclusion that it's alcohol related.
When you watch him, he looks just physically tired. Like, when somebody is sick and they just look physically drained, like they might sound normal. He doesn't even sound normal, but when you watch his just facial expressions, he looks like he's just
sign. And I'll tell bloated. You off the air, but that could be a sign of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
And bloated, which is...
But I just wish ESPN... I wish Todd would put it out. If that's what it is, I wish Todd would put it out there so people would be understanding. I think it's bad for people to be guessing about this stuff. If that's what it is, to be throwing him under the bus with, things that might not be true that would reflect poorly on his workplace habits. If that's not the case, then it'd be better if Todd put it out there or if ESPN addressed it so that people would be a little, they're not exactly cool on social media. This Tony Elliott will tell you this.
Yeah.
They're not exactly nice people. Sloan Stevens will tell you.
It's not
a nice place.
They had the Sloan Stevens and Tony Elliott had issues with people on Twitter. That's a first.
Yeah, I didn't know Twitter was
negative about something.
Well, social media. I think for Sloan, it's more it's her Instagram comments. But I thought that social media people were generally kind.
Great. Usually great.
Yeah, they put their name on stuff. They are not anonymous. And I'll save it for the next segment.
No, we're going to Sage Roosevelt.
Because I think if you make people pay to be on social media, you shut down a lot of the troll stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Your payroll, okay? If your payroll is becoming an issue for you, if you're paying people too much money to do your payroll, if you're wasting too many man hours doing payroll instead of having HR and P get this job done for you, we decided to go with a payroll company. Once you hit 15 employees, 16, we were 25 employees. We're like, we got to get a payroll company because it just doesn't make economic sense. And then we hit 75 employees and it was like, oh my goodness. Well, now we get a break, right? Well, the payroll company that we had before said, nah, it's the same price. That's what it is. And we were like, no. We tripled the size of our business. We ought to get some kind of definitely pay less for payroll. And so that's why we went with HR&P. It's not cookie cutter. Every business is different. And if your business grows, they grow with you. And they'll do all the HR, and you don't want to be doing that. Listen, you're looking for the payroll company that's going to adjust with you, that is going to customize it just for you. That's HR&P. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Hey guys, TGS Insurance said,
we want to help you find a way to put more money back in your pocket. All of us are always looking for ways that we can cut back or save. And I'd like for you to save money without having to cut back on a service, and that's with your homeowner's insurance. Homeowner's insurance, when you don't shop for your homeowner's insurance, the rates will go sky high on you. It's just the way it is. With every single company are going to raise your rates, your loyalty means nothing to them. They're going to go higher on you. And if you don't shop for your rates, you're going to end up finding out that, those rates are going to end up costing you a lot of money when you don't have to do that. You can get A-rated insurance for less money. All you have to do is text the word money to 232323, and the good folks at TGS Insurance are going to shop from a variety of A-rated insurance companies that they aggregate. They'll find the lowest rate for you, and they will send that over to you within 15 seconds so you can make your decision on how you want to play it. And odds are you're going to want A-rated insurance that costs you less money. TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money right now to 232323, no strings attached. Lower homeowners insurance, TGS Insurance.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Sage Roosevelt joins us as he does every week at 9:15, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as we head into the NFL season. Sage, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me on again.
So we're talking about the Texans playing the Jags, and we got a first-time quarterback making his first start, and it has not gone well for the number one overall pick in his NFL debut, and yet the Jags are three-point favorites in this one. And I know it's betting, and that's a little bit different. It's the thought about how a team is, and not a lot of people have a high opinion of our Houston Texans. But can you talk about, I like the Texans getting 3 points at home against a first-time quarterback making his NFL debut, Sage. How difficult is it for Trevor Lawrence coming into this football game as the number one overall pick making his first start?
Well, I think for him, you know, so far he has seen, you know, fairly basic things in practice. You know, and of course there's, you know, college football that he has his time in. But, you know, when the NFL regular season starts, the defensive coordinators, they start bringing all these blitzes and different looks sort of out of nowhere that you have not seen in training camps. You know, you haven't seen it, obviously, in practice, and you haven't seen these preseason games. And so I think that's probably the hardest thing, is sort of the unknown of what you may run into, you know, on your first third down. In particular on third down, that's when coaches really dial up the unusual stuff. A lot of times first and second down stuff is a little bit more basic. But on third down, you get into a third and eight, third and ten, you can get into some confusing looks, and that's always tough for a young quarterback.
I'm curious, you know, I brought this up. I made this comment earlier, and I want to see what an actual former NFL player says. Are there certain games when you know you're on a lesser team, or maybe just any football team, are there certain games you circle on the menu, you say, I mean, on the menu, on the schedule, where you say, all right, this is a game we really need to focus on because this is one of the really winnable games that we need to lock in on? I mean, does that ever happen with teams?
I don't think so. You know, I think you go into the season, you've got your, you know, used to be 16, now 17 games, and just circle them all. You know, you're trying, each and every game is winnable in the National Football League. You obviously, if anything, what you circle, it's during the ones that are on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football or prime time, or even a Thursday night game. Of course, those games within the conference that you deem, you know, a little, or in your division, which you deem a little bit more important. Those are the ones you probably, if anything, you circle, it's those ones. You do look at the one, be okay, this one we definitely should win or could win over other ones. But, you know, the National Football League, very different, I think, than college football. You do feel like you have a chance to win each and every week, even if you're not a very good football team. I mean, when I got to that Houston Texans team in 2006, we weren't a very good football team. We ended up going 6-10. They had won two games the year before. But at the end of that season, we ended up beating Peyton Manning and the Colts in Houston. And, you know, do we circle that game as an unwinnable game? No, we don't. But that was like a 13-win Colts football team. And so I think you legitimately do the cliche. You take it one at a time. And, you know, your first game's first, and you see if you can win it. And, you know, every win is just it's sort of a huge marker in your season. It's almost more of a relief every win you can get, and you just sort of add them up as the year goes on.
The four top quarterbacks taken in this draft, Sage, the Jets and the Jags are throwing their guys right out there, and the 49ers and the Bears are waiting. Who's doing it right?
Who's going to do it right? Oh, that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into it. It's not just the quarterback. It's also like, who's the other quarterback on the roster? Do they have a veteran that could sort of be the guy? Obviously, the Jacksonville decide, you know, Trevor's our guy. We're going to go, you know, play right away. And they got rid of their, you know, Gardner Minshew. They got rid of their other sort of starter. Obviously, the Bears have Justin Fields and Andy Dalton, so they had the sort of veteran guy there. Probably didn't feel Justin was quite ready yet. But it also has to do with the offensive coordinator and, you know, what type of offense does that coordinator run, and you know, is it sort of friendly enough for that quarterback? And, you know, I know for a fact that the Chicago offense, I do a Chicago show every Tuesday as well, and the Chicago offense, there's a lot of shotgun. There's a lot of empty stuff. I sort of feel like Matt Nagy puts the quarterback in harm's way a little bit. He relies on the quarterback to do a lot of things. Trubisky always struggled in that type of offense. And then you go to the Jets, and with LaFleur up there, you know, that's that, you know, Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers offense that I know so well. And you can, if you're a smart guy, you can learn that offense fairly quickly, and he can design it where the quarterback doesn't have to make a whole bunch of audibles and make a whole bunch of checks and line calls. They can make it sort of quarterback friendly. So sometimes it has to do with the quarterback, and other times it also has to do with the actual offense itself.
Did you see, Sage, did you see the play, preseason play with Justin Fields, where he had strong side left? He had two versus three. He had three, his three on two, and on the other side he had his two against three rushers. He didn't swing the protection back the other. He didn't slide it back the other way against the numbers. It slid left, which means he didn't make a call. And then he didn't look at the free runner who came and took almost his entire head off. As soon as I saw that, and that's one of those where he's got to either, you know, make a side adjustment or he's got to change the protection. As soon as I saw that happen, and my guess is you saw that play, I thought, okay, this is one of the reasons why Lazor and Nagy and those guys are going to be very hesitant to start him because he still needs to get better in this facet.
Pass plays all start with protection first. You learn that very early. I learned that my first year. You can drop all these pass plays you want, and oh, this guy's going to run this, and he's going to run the dig route, and he's going to run the post route, and it's going to be this beautiful thing against this coverage that we're seeing. If you don't understand protections or you don't have good protection, all those beautiful pass plays have no value. And again, the NFL, they do a better job, I think, with disguising protection or blitzes and stuff defensively. And it's more complicated offensively. You just have a lot more protections. In college, you really may only have 3, 4, 5 total protections. In the NFL, you may have 20 different ways to protect a quarterback. And so, you know, that's one of those learning things too, because one mistake like that can, one, it can cost you a football game, but two, it can cost you the year. I mean, you let a linebacker go free, it might wipe the quarterback out for a year. And so, I'm sure that play had some influence as to why Justin Fields isn't starting. And it may just be that one play, and maybe that's the one play we saw, but they saw other plays similar to that in practice where maybe he had a trouble pick up a blitz here and there. But that is the thing between the NFL and college. In the college, a lot of times you set your blitz and you just sort of play it. In the pros, a lot of times you like to, if you can, if you're a quarterback, you can, you know, redirect the line to protect yourself from those blitzes. But if you don't see them, you have to throw hot. You have to know who your hot guys are. You have to know who you're hot off of if they blitz. Now, see, Justin Fields missed that one in that preseason game.
Sage Rosenfeld's with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dak lost Zach Martin. And when you're talking about a guy coming off the injury that he came off of, and you know, I don't want to talk about his mobility. We'll see how mobile he is, but that is kind of a big deal, especially against in week one against the champs and that defensive front.
The Cowboys have an interesting season coming up. We will see how this all goes. They're going to rely on Dak Prescott a lot, a guy who has played, I think, almost none in the preseason, hasn't practiced all that much, practiced some. Now he's, you know, missing is one of his best players. They have spent so much money, salary cap wise, on their offense up there in Dallas, whether it's receiver, running back, quarterback, you know, offensive lineman, left tackle, guard. They have spent a ton of money up there, and if you don't have some of those guys, that's a huge disability for your football team. And if Dak's not healthy, I mean, this Cowboys team might really struggle because I imagine their defense is not going to be all that great again this year. I know they got a good defensive coordinator and Dan Quinn, who I really respect, but they don't have a ton of talent over on that side of the football. So you got to think the Cowboys are going to be in some higher scoring games. And if they don't have all their weapons and all the offensive line that they need to score those points, they may not be able to keep up with the other team who will probably be scoring some points against them. And so, not great news for the Dallas Cowboys.
We're not going to talk to you until after the first week of the season has jumped off next week. What was the first time you put a uniform on and you're out there, whether you're starting or a backup, it doesn't matter. The first time you're out there on the field, your rookie year, what is what's that feeling like?
I was so nervous. I was nervous to, you know, every single snap, every single pass. I'm like, it was a preseason game in Kansas City. That was my first ever sort of a time of putting on an NFL helmet in an actual game. And of course, even for preseason games, the Kansas City Chiefs will sell out that stadium, and the place was completely full. And I was so nervous. I was worried about those blitzes that we're talking about with Justin Fields. I didn't want to miss a hot, and if that standing mic came, you know, I wanted to make sure that I had the hot down, you know, to the tight end. And I remember, you know, the coverage, looking back, the coverages, like, they were in soft cover too. they weren't blitzing me at all, but I was obsessed with like the protections, and I didn't want to screw up. You don't want to make mistakes, and you do learn pretty quickly in the NFL for a quarterback. Those mistakes really are the things that kill you. It's not the incomplete passes or it's the big mistakes, because it's sort of a game of major turnovers that can really swing a football game. And so that creates the sort of a situation where you end up being a sort of a nervous player sometimes, especially as a young guy. At least I was. Other guys have the ability to sort of overcome that. But I just remember being really, really nervous. You just really did not want to screw up. And it's sort of an overwhelming experience. And it's just a different game. You're so used to college football and the band and the alumni and, of course, great crowds as well. But there's just something different about that NFL game. When people are playing for big money, there's just something different about that whole experience. And it definitely is. Players are faster. Defenses are more complicated. Offenses are more complicated. Coaches have way less patience with the NFL players. So it is a whole other level. But the field gets smaller, if anything. You know, players are, one, they're bigger, faster, stronger, but really they're smarter. You know, these guys have been playing the league for 8 years, 10 years, 12 years. So they know all the route combinations that attack their coverages. And so everyone on defense is so much smarter. They get to the ball faster, which means the field shrinks and the holes they're trying to throw the ball into end up being really, really small. And that just takes years and years of practice to sort of get used to that change from college football.
That's Sage Rosenfels. He will be joining us for two segments next week as we get games underway. So that'll be fun to get back to a couple of segments and talk about this weekend's game. Football's here, Sage. Can't wait.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Sage Rosenfels right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's going to be so good.
Yeah.
You know, that perspective from a quarterback about how the field shrinks on you. Yeah. No, that's so important to remember. That brings me into something I want to talk about with Mac Jones.
On the other side?
On the other side, we'll get to Mac Jones, because I saw a picture that kind of changed my perspective on Mac Jones. I saw a picture over the weekend during the game that made me say, I need to reassess how I'm looking at Mac Jones. I'll tell you what I mean by that, but it was one that kind of shocked me a little bit. Texas Custom Patios, boy, they shocked me when I first started doing business with them. And I'm the one who brought them on the radio. I was searching for a patio, somebody to build me a patio at my house. I knew I had a good spot for it. I had no idea that when Stephen Schell came out, he would see a gabled roof. He would see how to build it onto the pre-existing home, what it would look like inside. He sent the drawings over to me, the CAD system, what it looked like. And I got an exact rendering of exactly what it would look like. And I was blown away. You know, you can get exactly what you want. The TV, the sound system, the outdoor kitchen, you want a fire pit, they can do that for you. Nothing is too big. Ask for anything that you're looking for. The quality of the workmanship is beyond anything you've seen. I had them, we redid gutters. We added different types of drainage in my yard and around my patio. Like, they go all out to make it a true extra living space for you. It's unbelievable the work they do. I want you to see what they did for me before and after. You can get a feel for what I'm talking about. Go to tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com. The before and afters are pretty shocking. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, time to talk about you and your performance, and whether if it's not what it was or what you want it to be, then that's just fine. If you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. It happens. Guys in their 30s and 40s have ED problems. GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation from a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. Free with 2-day shipping. Whole process straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Go to GetRoman.com/John. Visit. Complete your online visit and take care of that ED without even leaving home. Complete that online visit with a doctor today and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/John right now and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now. Save $15 on your first month of treatment.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, some things we haven't hit on yet. It came out this weekend that Houston, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and BYU are the most
likely. Came out last week.
Oh, I missed it on Friday.
Yeah, we talked about it on Friday. You missed it. U of H, right in the middle of playing some good football, is getting ready to head on to Big 12.
Well, I mean, they proved that they could play with Texas Tech, which is a Big 12 opponent. I mean, if they don't throw a bunch of picks.
Play with them, they were favored.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, it's not like they embarrassed themselves. What they did was made too many flipping mistakes and too many turnovers. And so you clean that up.
38-7.
Huh? Yeah.
That's not great.
But they also were up. They also were kicking their ass in the beginning of the game.
Well, they're up 14-0.
Yeah.
And then really, like, it was bad.
It was bad.
It's not good. But no, the my dad and I were talking about it. That's a really big deal for Houston, Cincinnati. Like, it's good for the Big 12 teams. Fred Davis came in for a little bit. He said last Friday, he said that Kansas has already alerted the Big 12, hey, if the Big 10 comes for us, we're leaving.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll just let you know. And I think that's my biggest concern right now would be you want to make sure that all the schools are still on board, because it's not going to be the strongest conference. I mean, you're hoping it still stays a Power 5. And I don't know that it's a guarantee that if the Big 12 adds those four teams that they're for sure locked into some kind of Power 5. I mean, we'll see. But I think it's obviously a great move for the schools involved. I think it's a good move for the Big 12. You're limited in who you can seek out. Those seem to be the good schools to seek out. And I think, you know, they're talking about this could be jumping off like by September 10th. This stuff could start to happen very, very quickly.
That would be great. Randy Edsall. At first he said, you know what, I'm going to retire at the end of the season. And then he said, I'm out of here.
Did you see the video of him over the weekend?
No, but okay. I saw, you know, his players. What a mess.
You probably heard about it then.
What did I hear about?
Well, there's a video. Let me see if I can show you the video that's out there. Barstool had it, where the players, he was yelling at them.
And they were...
And he tried to get them all to huddle up afterwards, and no one went over. Everyone's like standing there like, well, I'm not... All right, let's break it up. All right, and we're going to start doing it. We're going to start doing it. All right, go on. You caught on three. And like, no one goes over there. Everyone's standing there like, shut up. God, we were getting beat by Holy Cross.
Holy Cross.
We got
Cross
embarrassed last week
ass.
By Fresno State. What are we doing? And it was a really bad look. Like, nobody was on board with him. And this is after they didn't play last year. They weren't good the year before when they did play. And it wasn't that long ago, if I remember correctly, John, that Edsall was one of the guys that was here in Houston for the what's the head coach's
Bear Bryant
award? Yeah, the Bear Bryant Awards. I'm pretty sure Edsall was one of the guys that was here in Houston at one point.
Well, if you win three games at Connecticut, then you're eligible for Bear Bryant.
This is his second time, though, at UConn.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, his team like kind of bailed on him, and after that he said he's going to step down at the end of the year, and then UConn's like, no, let's just do it now.
Let's just do it.
Let's just get this thing done now. What are your thoughts on now?
That happened. Now, you wanted to talk about Mac Jones.
So I saw a picture that made me – so the entire time I've thought and I will admit that Mac Jones looks like a very poised player out there for having basically 11 starts under his belt. And I think the mistake that one could make is to compare 11 starts for like a guy like Trey Lance, who is at North Dakota State, versus 11 starts with Mac Jones at Alabama. Both 11 starts. You say, well, why would you start Mac Jones right now? He's only played 11 games. And then why would you say that Trey Lance should sit down and wait? Well, because Trey Lance, number one, played at North Dakota State, played one game last year, and it wasn't very good. Trey has all the ability in the world. You look at what's going on with San Francisco. They've got a decent quarterback there, a guy who they went to a Super Bowl with previously. They've got a good offensive mind. They don't have to rush things. But by the same concept, you say, yeah, but Mac Jones only has 11 starts too. I saw a picture of, and I had to make sure that it was, I didn't think it went back this far. I saw a picture and I had to make sure that they weren't taking every player and putting them into one combined group photo. But it was a group photo of Mac Jones smoking a cigar. He had his shirt off. And I know that was a video we saw, like, the picture last year. Yeah, so I thought it was from last year. It wasn't. It was from 2017. It's Mac Jones, Jalen Hurt, and Tua Tagovailoa. Against when they beat Georgia, where Tua came in and saved the day. And there's Jalen right there in the middle. There's Tua on the right, and there's Mac Jones. And he's got the shirt off. He's got the cigar. I thought it was from this year's past national championship, but it was from 2017, and it reminded me, oh, my God, he's been there with Jalen Hurts, with Tua. Yeah. He's been there for a long time. And when you think about this, this is the big difference. Trey Lance is only, I think, 20 right now. Mac Jones is 23 years old. He's been in the room with Tua, with Jalen Hurts, who's considered one of the great leaders in college football history, like a phenomenal leader, high-character guy, great worker. With Tua, who was a early first-round draft pick, of course with Nick Saban, but also with Lane Kiffin, who's a very good offensive mind, with Steve Sarkisian, who's a very good offensive mind. He's had excellent, excellent offensive line coaches that he's learned running game under and pass protection stuff under in Kyle Flood and Scott Key, two of them back-to-back. Like, he has worked with the creme de la creme of the wide receivers. That's the difference between 11 games starting at Alabama when he's been in meeting rooms with these unbelievable offensive minds and everything. And then you have a Trey Lance at North Dakota State who's played against lesser competition.
Well, he started more than 11 games at Alabama.
Who? Mac Jones. Well, at one point, yeah, he was, I'm sorry, he was a one-year full-time starter.
Yeah.
1 year. He came in the other year because of injury. A one-year full-time starter. Right. You're right, because he went a full 15.
Yeah.
A full 15, but it was a one-year offensive starter. There's somebody else who's an 11 game, but a one-year offensive starter. Well, the difference in how they got there, their difference in their football maturity, and Trey Lance is brilliant, by the way. He's brilliant from a football intelligence standpoint, but you don't have to rush things. I could see where Bill Belichick and that entire team said, you know what, Cam Newton, it's fine and good, but this is a guy who we feel like is ready to handle this. And when you read another quarterback came out, Drew Brees, effusive. Everybody, all the football people, guys I would trust. If Drew Brees says something, I tend to trust it. When Tony Romo says something, this time about Zach Wilson, I tend to trust it. And it's so funny because when these guys are coming out talking about Zach Wilson, the media went like, what is... Well, at least some of the shows like Good Morning or Wake Up... No, Good Morning Football on my network, NFL Network. What in the world is Tony Romo talking about? While my instinct is to do the same thing, I don't do it because that's Tony frickin' Romo talking.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, if somebody had said that about Justin Fields, who was the media's favorite quarterback in history, no one would have blinked an eye. But it said about Zach Wilson, and the reality is Zach Wilson was way better last year than Justin Fields. Not only was he drafted earlier, Zach was way better on tape than Justin Fields was. So our perceptions of Josh Allen have changed. We were a little too quick to judge Josh Allen. We were a little too quick to judge, I think, maybe potentially Mac Jones here. We got to let some of these things play out a little bit. The Zach Wilson, let's see how that one plays out. Maybe the internet will be right about Daniel Jones, but people were pissed because Haskins wasn't drafted ahead of Daniel Jones. Well, we know what's happened with Haskins. Now, maybe Jones may not end up being a player. We'll find that one out, too.
Yeah.
But we got to let these things play out a little bit.
Absolutely. And we got to let you give your car to the kids.
Well, I mean, we don't have to let that play out. If you got a car, a clunker that's sitting in your driveway, doesn't even run, maybe you've got it at someone else's house, or you've got it off the lot somewhere, you've got it in some just farm area, I don't care where it is, they'll come and haul that thing off. They'll bring it out, and they will basically, Cars for Kids, who's working with Houston Can Academy, they'll take your car and they'll turn it into money that can help someone have a second chance at a diploma. And this is what carsforkids.org is so great at, getting people a second chance. What do they do that's so great? Well, they'll come take your junk off your property, whether it's a car, an SUV, a motorcycle. But it doesn't stop there. They give you a tax write-off as well as a $50 gift card, a Visa gift card, when you mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5. So get that tax write-off so you can write off the car and not the kid, and have that junk taken off your property. If it's not working or if it is working, they don't care. They'll come out and get it for you. Right off the car, not the kids, with carsforkids.org.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go SaberCats.
All right. I want to talk about Billy and Mary over Aqueduct Plumbing Company. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. We are big, big, big fans of those guys. And they are spectacular. And we just like them. And here's the deal is that it is something that you have to trust. It is something that you really need to, when somebody's coming to your home or your business and you have an issue with your plumbing, they have to be somebody that you really, really know are going to do the job, going to do it well, going to use all the right stuff, going to give you a fair estimate, going to give you, how about a free consultation as opposed to the other ones?
Well, it'll be $75 to come out there, and then if you use our service, we'll put it towards the price of, they don't do that.
And the installation is done by them, not a subcontractor. So everybody that works for Billy, everybody that's doing the job actually works for Billy, and they have to be held accountable. They're also the home of the $49.94 one-day repipe. They're at your disposal. It's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. Tell them you heard it right here, 281-488-6238 or AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You jealous of my scumbag shirt?
I like it.
I know. It's like The Simpsons, but it just says the scumbags. And it's my man over at Heavy, Oscar from Heavy Metal Racket. He does some phenomenal shirts. His social media page. He's growing this mullet right now.
I want to be a scumbag.
Yeah, I'll get you a scumbag shirt.
Yeah.
Well, the reason they made those is because LeShane always says scumbags.
Yeah, he does.
And he called you a scumbag.
He calls me a scumbag every time he... Yeah.
Back, Renato, tell your scumbag
tell that
friend...
scumbag.
Tell your scumbag friend to come over here and have a drink. I said, I'll tell him. He's like, oh, but I don't have a TV. The scumbag's probably going to cry all the time. But he's actually going to get Coors Light for you.
Yeah, he does.
Like when you're going to come
as
over.
As well,
but
he should.
So they started making scumbag shirts and hats, and so... There's a group of guys that call themselves scum. They do scumbaggy things.
I don't mind being a scumbag. I've been a scumbag my whole life.
But check out my man Oscar over at HeavyMetalRacket.com. And his clothing is awesome. He's got a lot of – it's all Houston-inspired. That shirt that I wear that says Houston across it, but it's got the Metallica lettering. He's the one who does that as well. So he's got a sweet, super sweet mullet. Like right now what's your boy's name at Oklahoma State?
Chad.
Gundy.
Oh, no, Gundy. No, no. Oh, Gundy. It almost looks like he's got a wig on.
Who, Gundy?
Gundy, yeah. It almost looks like, holy crap. Apparently, a man stole, a 46-year-old man stole a packet of Viagra from Lloyd's Pharmacy in Leek.
Okay.
And apparently, the judge, or no, his lawyer said he's not a hardened criminal. Do you think he should be let go because the lawyer actually made, you know, what was kind of funny, a kind of funny statement there?
Yes. I think that sometimes I think if the lawyers, if your crime isn't that bad and your lawyer has a good joke, it should be one of those mitigating circumstances. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Apparently, in China, they are no longer, the government says they no longer want effeminate men in the entertainment industry.
Who's saying this?
The quote was, sissy idols and effeminate men.
Who did
China,
this?
The Chinese government.
Yeah.
They're cracking down on any more effeminate men in the entertainment industry. And likewise, in Pakistan, they took down a billboard because they thought it promoted gayness amongst men. Because I guess the guy was pretty good looking. So that's happening around the world.
Okay.
I don't think that there are countries that are nearly as inclusive as we are here in the United States, despite what a lot of people think about us.
Despite what people would think, I think there's some other countries where they're a little bit uptight.
Yeah. Larry Elder is under some trouble. Apparently, there are some sexual harassment allegations.
Those are old, I thought.
Yeah, in 2011.
Yeah, it's been around.
Yeah, but he also implied that one woman was too ugly for it to be true.
I remember. Yeah, that's been around. No, I remember. I know he's taking some heat for that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're doubling down at that point. You're like, you know what? You thought that was trouble? Watch this.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch this.
Listen to this next. It's Charlie Polillo right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's your headline today?
Oh, the Astros are the lead. You don't want to blow out the emotion too soon before Texans and Jaguars.
Yeah, right. I mean, that doesn't get any bigger than that.
Quickie question before you get out. Just wondering aloud yesterday. Whose career would you rather have from this day forward, Kyle Tucker's or Yordan Alvarez's?
I'm going to say, that's actually a good question.
I think Yordan is going to make more money, so I want him.
I might say Tucker because I think Tucker's built to last longer. I'm legitimately.
Here's your show for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm legitimately a little worried about how long Yordan lasts.
I'm not. Just because he
just had double knee surgeries out of nowhere.
Yeah,
that doesn't bother you at all.
And he also just crushes. I'm going to take Yordan. How old is Yordan? Big power guy. I'm going to take that.
Power guys tend to make money. Although he's going to hit. I mean, Kyle Tucker's going to hit for some power too. Yeah. I want to tell you, speaking of hitting for power, you know, you can play total bases. You can mix and match your overs and your unders. In baseball, a lot of times it's multi-sport where they'll plug baseball in with football or with basketball. Right now it's football and baseball, for example, or just do baseball. You pick anywhere from 2 to 5 players, their overs and their unders on total bases, strikeouts. For example, today I'm just going to give you baseball specific. And you can make, if you pick 5 of them and you hit all of them, you're going to get 10 times your original play. So you put $50 out there, it's going to pay off. I'm sorry, that's 20 times if you hit 5 of them. That's 20 times. So you're going to make, you know, 20 times at 50. Well, that's a pretty good payoff. That's 1,000. So make sure that you check my friends out. And, of course, they have the best in fantasy sports at Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code RADIO, your first deposit. You put radio and they're going to give you $25 extra. You can sign up for the best ball mania number 2. First prize wins $1 million and you have your draft and your team lasts for the entire year. You don't even have to sit or start anyone. It just takes your highest scores every single week. UnderdogFantasy.com. That's UnderdogFantasy.com. What we're
doing here ain't just scary. Bye, bitch.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.